Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network. This is Racer Radio on AM 1170 The Answer. If it's a car, motorcycle, boat, or anything else with an engine in San Diego, it's on Racer Radio. Now, here's your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome to Racer Radio. I'm Dave. Michelle's on the line as well. This segment's brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better. Located 1595 East Main Street in El Cajon. These guys really, really do a great job hooking you up with any Ford product. 80% of their used cars are trade-ins. They don't go to the auction. They send things to the auction. So if you're looking for a Ford, check them out. El Cajon Ford. Go to elcajonford.com. All right, Michelle, you with us?
I am. How are you doing?
Very good, very good. So, Ryan, are you on the line?
Of course. Thank you guys for having me.
Hey, Ryan Vargas.
Ryan.
Yeah, we haven't talked to you in a little while. I've been watching you on Facebook. And so what's been going on, my friend?
Nothing much. Just a lot more racing and getting back into the groove of everything. We've been, ever since the wreck back in April, we've been having to really get back in our groove. And we suddenly found out a little bit at Bakersfield. We came off of two really strong podium finishes, chasing down the national points leader, Trevor Huddleston. And last night, we actually just got done racing at Irwindale. We had a really good car last night, but some unfortunate on-track incidents really hurt our performance in the second main.
Oh, doggone. And Irwindale, and that's a fast track.
Very.
Yeah, very. How fast do you think you're going in Irwindale?
At Irwindale, we're reaching about 120 about at the end of the straightaway, but Bakersfield up in Kern, that one is almost nearly 140, 130.
Holy moly. All right.
Yeah, it's those tracks are no joke.
Yeah, it gets your attention, right?
Definitely, especially when you're racing hard door to door with those racers up there. They don't give you an inch, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, and that's how you learn, right? You wouldn't want anybody to give you the lead. You want to earn it because that's when it's fun.
Oh yeah, of course. You always want to race hard. You always want to race hard, but you always want to race, you know, aggressive but smart.
Right, without a shadow of a doubt. So,
hey, did you turn 19 yet?
He's working on it.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I still got about 3 years to go. I'm still 16. Turned 17 in September.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought you were 18.
Okay. Oh, no. He's just
younger than I thought.
Yeah, well, he just comes across extremely older on radio and in person.
Exactly.
So who you still got on the side? You still got, who's on the side of your car?
On the side of the car, we got Hose Man, Advanced Masonry and Concrete, Swift Springs, and a new sponsor of the team, Unlimited Landscaping. We help out the owner's son, Cody, with the Bandolero class up at Orange Show and the other tracks, and he's been doing a pretty good job in those things. So nice to have them on the car.
Oh, absolutely. So you enjoying your summer vacation, what there is of it?
Oh, yeah. I've been enjoying all of it that I could. I've been spending a lot of it at the shop, learning a ton about the car, learning just how to make adjustments myself, and learning just the ins and outs of the race car, because I don't want to just be able to know how to drive the car. I want to know how to work on it as well.
Well, if you don't know how to work on it, you can't talk to the crew chief, because the crew chief.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's I mean, right down to tire pressure. I mean, you have to be good enough to know what a half a pound or a quarter pound of tire pressure will do in any four corners of that car, along with, you know, your track barge. I mean, there's so much stuff that you got to learn, and the only way you're going to do it is take it apart and put it together.
Of course. I mean, it's crazy because, I mean, we're not even the upper level, and there's still so much technology and so many adjustments you can make to these cars. It's really incredible to see everything that goes on inside the car just to make it turn good.
Sure. And I'm sure you have a book on different tracks. Are you starting to make a book up? Like when you go to Irwindale, you want this type of setup. When you go to, you know, another track, are you getting into that pretty heavy duty?
I keep a lot of notes. I write down stuff from each run and stuff like that. I also research, like, you know, videos. Like if I'm going to a track I'm not very familiar with, I'll look up videos like on YouTube or something like that, or I'll go back and look at GoPro footage from other times I've been to those tracks.
Well, you know, I've been hearing a lot in especially NASCAR about iRacing. Where drivers will go to iRacing and they'll find the track they're going to. And I have not done it at that level yet. I've done some simulation, one of them way, way up there, and that was unbelievable. But are you able to do that? I mean, is there anything that you can, you know, do a driving simulation, say, for Irwindale or Orange Show?
The closest thing for me to drive simulating is playing my NASCAR video game on the PlayStation. Our budget's been a little bit low this year because of the wreck and stuff, a few wrecks and stuff like that, unfortunate incidents that haven't been really of our doing. And
right.
it's hurt us pretty much in the budget-wise. So iRacing has been kind of out of the idea for right now. So
right. Really
my only knowledge of each track we go to is, like I said, looking at past notes or
right. Watching
videos and kind of just using imagining that I'm in the driver's seat, kind of using your imagination, I guess.
Sure, a little visualization. And then the other thing that's, and the other thing that's neat about the series that you're in, you've got other drivers that'll help you. You know, they'll tell you about a certain track, you know, what, you know different break points, because you have to figure out what's best for you. But I'm sure there's other drivers that'll help you.
Oh, and not just that, they also help you when you're in a tough situation.
Mm-hmm.
After qualifying, we had our jacking bowl on our right front get stuck, and so we had to get that cut out. And we had about three guys from other teams come out with their torches and tools and actually help us out get it all fixed. And we were actually able to make the main event because of help that we got from other teams. So it's really neat to see that I've kind of been respected from other teams like that. And
uh-huh.
It's really neat to have just to have that little bit of backing from them.
Well, Ryan, a lot of it has to do with you. I mean, you present,
yeah,
no, seriously, dude, you present so well. I don't think there's anybody at the track that wouldn't want to help you. And
thank you.
Is that the same race that you did a podium on?
No, this was actually yesterday.
Oh, that's right. You had an issue.
Kern almost went as flawlessly as you could say. The only way it could have been perfectly flawless if we could have actually won the race. But we were right on the tail of Trevor. But honestly, following through all of these tracks at Irwindale and Kern, I'm learning a lot more just from being right behind him.
Sure.
And being out front. So it's been a really big learning experience just this whole year. And even be able to have one win earlier this year at Irwindale, that's a big accomplishment for what our team has. And
sure,
it's been pretty cool.
Well, you know as well as I do, there's always scouts in the audience. So you've got to bring your A game no matter what. And if anybody can do that, you definitely can, because not only are you good at behind the wheel, you're really good in front of a camera and a microphone, and I'm just telling you that to keep up whatever you've got in your head and what you're doing, just keep doing it, because you're going to do just fine, seriously.
Thank
you. Yeah, we've been following you ever since the Western States Racer Expo earlier this year, and
yep.
Really happy to see your progress.
Yeah.
And hopefully you'll join us at the one that's coming up in 2018 in February.
Of course. We're hoping to get there. We're actually going to try to get our sponsor, Hoseman, to have a booth there.
Perfect.
So they can expand to the racing community, because I know a lot of racers at Irwindale actually do a lot of business with Hoseman.
Right.
So hopefully we can kind of use more of them, let more racers get exposed to what they can do, because
sure,
we actually use a lot of Hoseman products on our car with air ducts and brake lines. So.
Right. And no failures.
Of course, yeah. And no failures whatsoever.
See, that's the key. So, hey, you can go talk to Hoseman tomorrow and say, hey, if you put a booth in there at Western States Racer Expo, I can get you on radio. And we'll get him on radio, and we'll give him airtime, and he can talk about his product and talk about why it's important. So just tell him. So that's your task for next week.
And I think it's a win-win for everybody. Yeah.
Of course.
All right. Well, hey, buddy, I'm going to go ahead and let you go. I'm sure you're probably out putzing around on the race car, right? Or are you watching racing?
I just got done tuning out of the cup race right now. So right now it's just been a lazy Sunday recuperating after a long weekend.
I bet. Well, anybody deserves it, it's definitely you. All right. Hey, Ryan, again, thank you very much for calling in. If people want to follow you on Facebook, how can they do that?
They can catch us on Facebook at Ryan Vargas Racing. They can follow me on Twitter, the_Rhino23. They can follow me on Instagram at RTRV23. And they could also check out our brand new website, RyanVargasRacing.com.
All right. Congratulations on the new website, man.
Yeah, it came out phenomenally. The guys at Race Face, they did a great job getting that thing put together, and it honestly looks amazing.
All right. So, hey, well, we're going to have to drag you down to San Diego one of these days, get you on TV. So I'll get you an email sent out to you and see if we can't set up a date for you and Hoseman and all your sponsors.
10-4, that sounds all good to me.
All right, buddy, take care and keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up, and we'll talk to you down the road. Okay, folks, we're going to go ahead and take a small break. When we get back, Brittany is going to call in from Barona. She was sent the results and sent a picture, and they don't match. So our girl is stressing, but that's okay. We love it right here on Racer Radio. I'm Dave. Oh, Michelle didn't get it. Might have had her turned off. We'll be right back. Racer Radio. Folks, welcome back to Racer Radio. I'm Dave. She is Michelle.
I'm Michelle.
There you go. Barona Circle Track is the sponsor for this segment, 1750 Wildcat Canyon Road in lovely Lakeside. If you want to check out the Barona race schedule, go to baronaspeedway.com, baronaspeedway.com for all of the information you could possibly want. Everything from scheduling to track rules to car building rules. And all the opportunities, whether you want to help out the track, maybe a little bit of volunteering, it's all right there. All right. Hey, we got Brittany on the line.
Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon. Did you get your scheduling all figured out?
Yeah, we're all good. All is well on this end. How are you, Dave and Michelle?
Well, Michelle's up in Orange County, and I'm down here in the box. And
yeah.
I heard you had a pretty good night last night.
Oh, yeah, I did. I had a great time. I always do, Dave.
You always have a good time, whether you even go to the track. So talk to us. How did it go last night? The weather was perfect. I know that.
Oh, man. Even while the sun was up, if you were in the right spot, you could catch a nice breeze.
Mm-hmm.
That would not be my particular pit area, so my crew and I kind of hung out.
Uh-oh.
At someone else. And then once the sun went down, oh, man, between it cooling off, there was kind of some moisture in the air. And Dunlap, he's a dwarf driver, number 4. He cuts the track for the main event. He cut that thing so nice. And then with that moisture, it held some moisture. And even the dwarfs, we went last, and it was not a dust bowl. So he did a great job, and the temperature was nice, and the moisture in the air. And I don't think there were any bad wrecks. And it was a wonderful night. Through Facebook and texts and just conversations,
mm-hmm.
overall, a lot of people were saying that was a great night of racing.
Right. So do you have any rundowns as to who's on first?
Yeah.
Cool. What you got? I sure do.
Yeah, I was packed up. It was like 10 people were about to leave, and all of a sudden someone comes up, Brittany, these are for you. I'm like, what's this? Oh, the results. Okay, guess I'm calling in.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, that was your first clue.
Yeah. Yeah, surprise. But no, here we go. Right. Let's see, with the mini dwarf sportsman, we have Charlie Carter in the number 1 car as the main event winner. And so check this out. I believe the mini dwarf sportsmen have run 7 main events. And Charlie in the number 1 has raced 7 main events. And Charlie has won 7 main
events.
No! Yeah!
Well, so I guess he's on a streak.
Yeah. And he's a mini dwarf sportsman as opposed to the mini dwarf masters. So I wonder if that's an age thing, because he did hop out of the car and he was a tiny little thing. But you obviously can't judge a book by its cover.
Well,
so what's next?
It's all fair in racing. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Once you get that suit on and helmet and you're strapped mm-hmm. in, we all pretty much look the same.
Exactly.
Our mini dwarf masters division, oh, this is a good one. Jaylen Gill in the number 59 earned her first main event win. And it looks like until then, it's been controlled by the Deegans. We have Deegan in 84 winning a bunch of mains, and Deegan in the 66 winning. And finally, Jaylen got herself a first main event win. And there was a little, I couldn't quite understand the results because I'm seeing stuff on Facebook and yada, yada. But Eric Evans cleared it up. And he sent me a post that says, yes, Jaylen won. This is her very first main event win. For 3 straight hours, she would not put that trophy down.
She probably went to, I bet she went to bed with it last night. What do you want to bet?
Probably. And he went on to say, I love to see the excitement and passion these children have for racing. So I thought that was adorable. I was like, I'm sharing that on the radio. So congratulations to Jaylen. She has her first main event win. I have no idea what that's like.
It's coming. It's coming. Have no fear.
Brittany, you will get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. Then we have the junior sprints. And in the junior sprints, Michael Thing in the 38 was the main event winner. And it looks like he's also leading in the overall point standing. So congratulations to Michael Thing. Wow, though, number 7, Shane Sexton, he did some aerial tricks, which we don't like to see. You know, he did basically a cartwheel. But he's fine. I think I saw him getting interviewed later on and still smiling. The kid's always smiling. And so I'm sure he'll be back soon. So thank goodness, you know, we prepare for that. And he was prepared with all his safety. And but stop it with the aerial tricks. And And then on to the adults. The featured main event was the street stock. And in the street stock division, Everett Hartsuker in the number 55 got his first main event win of the season. So congratulations to Everett in the 55 on that win. And then on to the pro pony and the stock pony. We had Dennis Taylor in the number 11 win the main event in the pro pony, and this was his 5th main event win this season. So congratulations.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
Good for him.
And then, I know, he knows what he's doing. That's a question where, is it setup, is it driver, combination, is it mindset? I'd love to know, to win 5 races. And then in the stock pony, we have Tommy Crow in the number 44 get his 2nd main event win. And what caught my eye on this is of the 4 stock pony drivers who showed up, all 4 of them have won at least 1 main event.
Hmm.
So from a racer perspective, how fun is that? You know,
yeah, that's a good competition.
Exactly. And you know that when you win, it's an earned win and that you always show up. Win. So that seemed cool. Tommy has 2 main events. Curtis in the 79 has 2 main event wins. Eric in the 46 has a main event win. And then Michael Thing in the 38, he is the junior I talked about earlier. So he, talk about a focused man, young man. He wins in the junior sprint and then hops into a stock pony and races with the adults. He did all that yesterday.
Gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. And Dave, you would have been proud. I watched his post-race interview, and he did an awesome job. He was so prepared with his thank yous and his sponsor recognition. I thought of you. I thought, Dave would love that.
Dave would be very proud. You always got to do that.
That's excellent. No, I love it when they do that. That's so cool.
I know. I was lucky enough to bump into Michael's father in the pits, and I even told him I noted that post-race interview and how good it was. Then on to the IMCA Modified. Royce Henry in the number 1 car got his 4th main event win of the season, and it looks like he really had to work for it because he started in the 8th position and was able to move his way up. So good for him on that.
Yeah. Good for him.
And you know, the modifieds are often one of the crowd favorites. And I'm noticing here that the modifieds are really representing at Verona this season. They had 16 show up at the beginning of the day. 16, you know, out there at once. That's a lot of energy out there.
That's a lot of horsepower.
Yeah.
That's a lot of horsepower.
It's a lot out there. It looks like unfortunately, three didn't finish the heat and four did not finish the main. But still, they're representing well at Verona this season. So good for all those drivers showing up.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you have the rest of the podium for the modifieds?
Okay, let's see. So,
hard question.
I did just throw the glasses on here. I'm up to the bifocal stage here. Main finish. No, second place looks like Steven. He's in the 15 KD. He got second. And Matthew Hicks, has he called in with you?
Yes.
Yes, he has.
Yeah. It looks like he earned a third place last night. Did you want all of them, Michelle? I can.
No,
that's good. Did you have any other? Did you have any other group, or was that it?
Well, I have two more divisions.
Let's do it.
Okay, we have the pure stock, of course, and Jason Aldridge in the number four went home with his first main event win, so that must feel good, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And then last but certainly not least were the dwarf cars. And we had 16 show up, which is typical for us, actually kind of on the low end. And number 88, Michael Tobiasen, brought home a second main event win. And he's actually heading to college today. I think he's going to college out of state. So he left a mark here in San Diego. And he
sure did.
College. Yeah. I went up and congratulated him and wished him well in college and maybe encouraged him to have fun, but find that fine balance between fun and not too much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The college plan.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he did say he'll come back next year. We're all looking forward to that. He's yet another good, clean, humble driver out at Verona. Sometimes you just hear about the other side, but we've got a lot of good guys out there and ladies.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure.
That is how it went. Our next race at Verona is August 12th, and the dwarf car should be the featured main. We went last, so that should make us first next time, 2 weeks.
All right. So, hey, I never remember to ask you this. So if people wanted to follow you, social media and all that, what's the best way to do it?
You're saying follow me in particular?
Yeah, you.
Well, just because there is the Verona on Facebook. You can do Verona Speedway. There's Verona Dwarf as well. And then for me, it's kind of weird. It's number, N-U-M-B-E-R, and then the second word is two dwarfs. T-W-O-D-W-A-R-F. And that's just because my first race number was 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a lot of followers and stuff, and we didn't switch it over to 37. But number 2 dwarf. And my mom posts all the videos, and she posts the winners. And, yeah, it'd be great.
Well, you know, you just, like I said, I'm sure you can always use a little sponsorship, too. So if somebody sees you out there and wants to get a hold of you and hook you up and help you out, then, you know.
That would be great because, you know, I really appreciate the AMSOIL and the Sprung Monkey and the Suicidal Tendency and the Alpine Motorsports and the Bullseye Feed Store and, of course, San Diego Farms and Still Buildings because what they do is they help me to get out there and challenge myself as so many of us do. And I believe you don't know what you're capable of until you push yourself to the limit. And I get to do that every other week.
I know. And you need to go up to Bullseye and say, Dave Stahl says you need to give me more money.
Nah.
I know him really well. As much money as I give them with all the stuff we buy, just tell them to hook you up.
Yes, they are really helping me out. They stepped up quickly and early in this 3-year career of ours. 2 years ago they did, and I really, really, really appreciate that. Yeah,
they're fantastic folks.
Yep, and there's where the big smile comes from.
Yeah. I heard from Allison and Maddie Gay. They were up in Madera, and I contacted mom.
How'd they do?
She says, she says, this was about an hour ago, still driving down from Madera. Both cars are in one piece, so that's good. Allie had problems with the brakes and a flat tire. The girls finished 13th and 14th and thanking their sponsors. And I can't help but think of a quote I saw. It said, I either win or I learn.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
What a great way to end that with Brittany, the school teacher. All right. Hey, kiddo, it's always a blast having you call. You can always come into the studio whenever you feel like it, and we'll be talking to you down the road, kiddo.
Right on. All right. Talking to you, too.
All right, folks. We're going to take a small break. When we come back, we've got, hopefully, Don Henry on the line. He is going to chat with us about the Southern California Fair and what he's got going on there. So stay tuned. This is Racer Radio.
AM 1170, The Answer, KCBQ.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio. I'm Dave.
And I'm Michelle.
Yeah, and she's off-site, folks. She's off-site, so she'll sound a little echoey periodically. But right now we've got, this segment's brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. Phenomenal track right up there outside of Paris, California. Couple-hour drive tops coming out of San Diego. Most amazing dirt track racing you'll find, you know, in that area. You really need to check it out. But right now we got Don Henry on the line. Don Henry is with American Flat Track Association, formerly the AMA Grand National Series. And your finals are coming to the Southern California Fair at Paris October 7th. Am I correct?
Absolutely, Dave.
You've got to be excited.
It's the best racers in the nation. These guys are riding XR 750s. They're riding Indians. They're riding Ducatis. And these guys are the best in the nation at doing what they do. Last night, Jared Mees, who's currently number one, took the Calistoga half mile, which is the other half mile, but that's in Northern California in the series. You've got the nation's top competitors, Dave. I actually worked with you earlier back in the day when I did the Del Mar mile.
Yes, you did. I thought this name sounded awful familiar, and I want you to know, every chance I get anywhere near Del Mar, you know I'm banging on them to let you guys come back, because you know they took that goofy turf out, you know, that you couldn't ride a motorcycle on, and they went back to the old stuff. So I hope you're beating on them, because I think it's something they need to do.
Yeah, Chris Agajani and Steve McLaughlin and myself, we're all kind of trying to work the same program. But what we've got coming down on October 7th, which is the one of the last days of the fair, is the American Flat Track Finals. It is the final championship deciding event of the year. What's happened in this sport in the last year is that Indian Motorcycle, which is an American-made motorcycle, has come into this sport hard and heavy. They bought Jared Mees. They bought the contracts of a number of riders. So in a sport that has historically been dominated by Harley Davidson, now we bring another American motorcycle company into play with Indian. The dynamic of Indian, Harley Davidson, Kawasaki has a strong bike that runs as well. The problem with the Cali so much is that it'll pull the Harleys, pull the Indian on the straightaway, but it pushes a little bit much going into the corners. And these guys are the best at what they do. They are America's best, their finest, and there's nothing. It is, to me, the most pure form of motorsports. There's no roll cage. There's nothing.
No.
These guys make the ground, but a set of cojones.
Yep.
And a helmet.
And if you're going to go into an air fence, you're going to go into an air fence. These guys respect one another. With a mile, like with a half mile track like Paris, principle of drafting, somebody comes into play. So it's not just, as I said, lightly cojones, who can leave it on the hardest, who can tilt their right throttle and as hard as they can tilt it. It's a matter of whether you want to pass this guy. You want to pass him on lap 23. You want to pass him on lap 24. You want to wait to the third corner. What do you want to do? So, and these guys, honestly, it is the most pure form of motorsports. They go 120 miles an hour. Yes, I ride the commercial copy, but it is the honest to God gospel truth. And there is nothing between them and a racetrack and danger but a set of leathers and their knowledge, their ability to run their motorcycle to the best of their ability, track days prepared.
So what kind of straightaway speeds do they get, Don, at Paris?
They'll be doing about 110.
That's what I thought.
And on a mile track, they'll do 120, mm-hmm. 130. They literally will do 110, pitching mm-hmm. into the corners. I mean, it's the same concept as speedway or sprint car racing, where literally if you're riding up in the marbles and you've got the wherewithal to do that and mm-hmm. to ride in the cushion, you know, you could, instead of cutting the apex like every form of racing, you ride in the cushion and you bring it down low. And these guys, they race with each other on a weekly basis. There's nobody taking any cheap shots. Mm-hmm. These guys know each other. They all love each other like brothers. I mean, Jared Meany's won last night. He barely finished in front of Brian Smith. The current point standings in the AMA American Flat Track Series is Jared Meany is number one. Brian Smith is number two. Sammy Halbert is number three. Brad Baker is number four. And there's only a 3-point difference between these guys. It's all going to come down. I could not be happier about the level of competition that's coming here. And if you guys have never seen dirt track motorcycle racing, it is a spectacle to behold. Tickets are ridiculously cheap. They're on sale now at the SoCalFair.com price. They are $5. I'm not kidding you.
What?
$5 in the turns, both turn three and four and one and two, the turn section. Seats in the middle are $20 each. They come with free admission to the fair. The Southern California Fair runs from September 30th to October 9th. We are one of the closing nights of the fairgrounds. They have Los Lobos playing. They have a number of great musical acts that are playing. Oh, Metal Mariachi, who is playing. And those guys, I don't know if you've ever seen them before, but they are just a hoot.
Mm.
But these guys, this is the season finale. This is the real deal. It doesn't get any better.
Hey, Don, have you still got my email by chance? If not, it's real easy. It's stalld@cox.net, S-T-A-L-L-D at cox.net. Send me an email, and let me see if I can get maybe some of your riders. You got any local riders?
Yep, absolutely, Dave.
How about bringing some of the bikes and some B-roll down to KUSI prior to October 7th?
And I'd love to do that. The same thing we did for the Del Mar Mob.
Bingo.
I got to tell you, this event is done as a tribute to Skip Van Leeuwen. Skip Van Leeuwen was one of the greatest racers
in
pro history.
Yeah.
He's the Flying Dutchman. This guy was the most amazing TT rider. I worked for the Agajanian family at Ascot Raceway for 20 years. I, in turn, worked for 10 years after that with Chris Agajanian, JC's youngest son, touring the nation doing exactly this. Skip Van Leeuwen, I came to work for the Agajanian family in the 80s. It was after his racing career. Skip was kind of he was a handsome devil. I don't know how to put it any other way. He's not my type because he's a dude. But, I mean, he literally was the Hollywood liaison to Ascot Raceway. I just went to his recent memorial.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw pictures of Skip with Flo and Eddie from the Turtles, with the guys, members of the Three Dog Night, members of the Association, members of Paul Revere and the Raiders. I know for those of you that are young, you don't know who these people are, but those are pretty heavy bands back in the 60s when Skip was racing. It was when he was that kind of guy. He was the Hollywood liaison. When I met Skip, it was past his racing career. Being a connection to Hollywood, Skip struggled with some demons. Being a former musician, I kind of struggled with some demons at the time. Skip was an inspiration to me as a man and as just a role model to prove that with hard work, determination, you can accomplish anything in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of guy this guy was. So sure. It's the Skip Van Leeuwen.
I know who he is, Perks. Yeah, just an amazing guy. Just an amazing guy.
Guy never aged.
No, I know.
I keep getting balder and fatter, and this guy keeps getting better and young looking. What the hell did we do wrong, Dave? I can't figure it out.
It's simple. You and I aren't straddling a motorcycle.
I guess. Like, you throw your leg over something that runs that fast and that hard for that long.
It'll keep you young. Hey, what's the website for your events?
It is SoCalFair.com. SoCalFair.com.
Okay.
Tickets are available right now. I would jump out and get them in advance. Literally, at $5 for a general admission ticket, at $20 for a reserved seat admission, which includes admission to the fair. It's insane. I mean, we're bringing this back to 1960s Ascot Raceway prices.
Yeah, you are. I was just going to mention that. It seems to me like you guys have fallen back into Ascot days. But
speaking of which, we have Sammy Tanner, Flying Fleet, ex-AMA great racer, and Ronnie Jones is our co-grand marshal. Sammy Tanner won the first national at Ascot. Ronnie Jones won the last national at Ascot.
Wow. Man, so, I tell you. All right, Don. Hey, going to have to let you go. Send me an email so I can get you on KUSI, and I'm so glad you're still pushing the AMA, American Flat Track Association, around the dirt. So, hey, we'll talk to you down the road, bud. Look forward to working with you on KUSI. Folks, we're going to take a small break. When we come back, Michelle, are you going to hit the road?
I am.
All right. Well, hey, we'll hope to see you next week. But coming up next, Mark Ansley from San Diego Velodrome will be giving us a report. So stay tuned.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Michelle.
Take care, guy.
Bye.
AM 1170, The Answer. KCBQ.
All right, hey, welcome back. This is Racer Radio, and this segment is brought to you by Certified Car Care, 11370 North Woodside Avenue in Santee. Check these guys out, boy. When it comes to taking care of your car, whether it be a stock or a race car, either way, you can do it right there at Certified Car Care, 11370 North Woodside Avenue in Santee. Just make sure you go to their website, CertifiedCarCare.net, CertifiedCarCare.net. Hey, we got Mark on the line. Has he called in?
Dave.
Mark.
How are you today, Dave?
Mark Ansley, fastest man on two wheels. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great. Thanks so much, Dave. Good to talk to you. How are you today?
Let me tell you what, my friend. I went to the race Saturday night or Friday night, and it was I had the paperwork, and I can't figure out what I did with it. The women's cycling. It was some organization. It was mainly women riders last Saturday. Oh, my goodness gracious. What a night.
Ah, good fun. Ladies' night.
Ladies, and I seen my first slog race.
Oh, did you? That's pretty fun. What did you think?
Folks, I'm not even going to tell you about it. You just have to come out and experience it. And let me tell you what, it is the wildest form of racing. In fact, if you like racing, the Velodrome really gives you a variety that you and I, and I mean, we have races where we have sprints in between, when it's going to end. I mean, it's just wild. And but really, Mark, tell us a little bit about the event that happened, last weekend up in L.A.? Or did we? I know we talked a little bit about it, but that was pretty huge, too.
That was States, and it was good fun. I'm up in Carson today, and we're preparing, and people are arriving for Nationals, which happens next week.
Ooh.
Up at the StubHub Center in Carson, California. People are flying in from all over the country to get ready for Nationals that start.
I don't know why. Your son's just going to beat them all.
Well, he's sitting right next to me. I wanted to introduce you to him. You met him on Tuesday, but he's, just for everyone to know, Ryder's back from racing in Pennsylvania, which is the mecca in the U.S. of bicycle racing. He's been competing in the World Series of Bicycling and has done real well in preparation for this national championship. So without further ado,
sure,
let me hand this over to Roger Ainsley.
Hey, Roger, how you doing, buddy?
Good, good. How are you, Dave?
You know, I just want to say, you know, I learned so much from you the other night, you know, and I could see the passion. I mean, you are super passionate about, you know, bicycle racing and especially San Diego Velodrome. And I just wanted to thank you on air how much I learned from you. Not that I didn't learn anything from, you know, Hunter and, or Taylor and Jay and all those guys, but, you know, I just want to thank you for that because it was very informative. I know I'm still on the cutting edge of learning, but I got to tell you, folks, if you've never been to a bicycle race at the Velodrome, you're totally missing out on the best night of fun ever, ever. So what you got?
Yeah, it's definitely cheap entertainment for a Tuesday night.
Yeah, we're going to work on that. But that's another story. So how long have you been riding? Ever since you were just a little kid?
Well, yeah, I've been riding bikes since I was a little kid, probably just like a lot of guys in San Diego. But mm-hmm. I started riding pretty seriously when I was about 18 or 19 and started doing road races.
Okay, let me ask you that because that's a good question. Now, you started when you were 18 and 19. Now, I'm only comparing from what little knowledge I know. Now we've got Wolfgang Lochmiller, who's what, 14? So did you start late?
Yeah, by most people's standards, I got into the sport very, very late.
Okay.
So I missed out on quite a bit of what, you know, they have a junior ranked or what, under 18, what they call racing for mm-hmm. anyone under 18. And I didn't do any of that. And most guys that I'm racing against in Pennsylvania are world-class competition. They've been racing bikes at a serious level since they were 6 years old. So they have so much more experience than I do when it comes to racing at a high level, understanding the tactics, uh-huh. what's going on a race. They just have the instinct. Whereas I kind of had to really learn very quickly. And it takes years to develop that skill. And it's such a huge component of bike racing. It's just understanding what's going on, and reading a race and following wheels. Because a race can be won or lost by tactics alone so many times. It's not just who has the strongest legs on the day.
Isn't that the truth? And I watch him out at San Diego Velodrome. This guy will blow out. He'll get way out ahead. And then you guys just kind of sit back there and chuckle. And I go, what are you chuckling about? Just wait. Just wait. And sure enough, because you mentioned it to me, you either blow it out in the beginning or you save yourself. You know what I mean? It is just amazing.
Yeah. And just having that ability to see what's going to go on during a race and understand what attacks or what moves are going to stay away and what moves are not, that just takes years of practice. And it's a lot going on. And when I was kind of instructing you that one night, I was trying to kind of tell you what's going on in my head if I was in the race.
Yeah, that's what
there's just so much going on. Like, my mouth doesn't stop moving because there's about 50 things going on when there's real racing. So, yeah.
And it's not difficult, folks. Once you go to a couple of races, you know, my biggest challenge still is knowing, you know, putting the names with the faces, but getting the actual racing format down and seeing the strategy. And I'm going to tell you, folks, even if you're a NASCAR fan, this is as close to NASCAR. The only difference is there's no noise because it's the same thing. There's strategy involved. There's, you know, granted, they don't do pit stops, but they slow down. They'll go high. They'll let people get in front. And that's the other thing. Talk a little bit about where the first rider's in the front, that their people actually could be behind them, and that guy actually is a wind block, and you can draft.
Yeah, drafting is a huge part of bike racing. In the draft, at the speeds that they're going at in the velodrome, you're putting out about 40% less power than the guy in front of you. So the guy in front of you is working almost twice as hard just to stay in the front position, whereas the guy sitting on his wheel, tucked in his draft, is doing, you know, half the power. Man. So he can really save himself for the end if you can really just learn to protect yourself and stay out of the wind until when you really need to.
Right. And the other thing people need to understand, you know, you mentioned kids start at 6, but we got guys out there, girls too, in their 50s and 60s riding. And I mean, and they're running 30 laps, 40 laps. I mean, I don't know how they do it, but, you know, but I think, I think you were the one that mentioned it to me, that getting your legs in shape to ride those types of distances takes years. It's not like you can go to the gym, take a supplement, and you're good.
Well, yeah, I mean, anybody, I think, can really, if they have a little bit of fitness, can hop on their bike and ride the distance. Mm-hmm. That's not really the issue. You just go slow enough. would take years of practices to be able to go that distance really fast.
Right.
And being able to actually race at speed at that distance. But yeah, we have races for pretty much everyone at San Diego. That's right. What's so cool about it. Regardless of what you know, age you are, you're a woman or you're a man, we have races for you. And everyone is, I think we do a pretty good job of making everyone feel welcome.
Yes.
It's a very safe environment. We haven't had a crash in the A's field, in the elite field, mm-hmm. In TNR, because everyone seems to know what they're doing.
Sure.
In 6 years, it's been, you know, it's a very safe sport. Whereas on the road, if you wanted to take up cycling, I mean, there's crashes every single weekend.
Right.
Every single race is going to be a crash, pretty much. It's, you know, you're going to go down. But track is much safer. One of the reasons is that the velodrome bikes don't have any brakes.
Mm-hmm.
And because they don't have any brakes, no one puts on the brakes, and then no one can run into you.
Right.
Because, you know, there's no brakes involved. That's one of the big things that causes crash. It's also very predictable. People are passing you usually on one side.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going underneath you. Everyone's passing you on the right. So that also makes it safer. And there's no cars, and there's no cones in the way, no potholes. It's a, you know, it's a smooth track that you can race on.
And let me tell you what, folks, if you do something that's not within the rules, if you come out of the blue line, or you try to pass, and we had one guy the other night, and he was actually wiggling from side to side going on a straightaway. You guys pulled him aside in a very professional fashion, explained to him that needed to be changed. And the other gentleman, and he's been riding out at the track a while, and I was listening and kind of listened in. Everybody was respectful. Nobody made any excuses or said, oh, I did. They all said, yep, you're right. Okay, no problem. And I think that's super important when you put a race venue together, because you guys are going 20, 27, 30, sometimes 35 miles an hour out there. My goodness.
Yeah. In the sprints, sometimes you go 45. You can go real fast on that track.
I don't know how you do it. And by the way, let's talk a little bit about you going back east, only starting when you're – I mean, how well did you do? I think you got a couple awards, right?
Yeah, I won a few races and got second several times, got third quite a few more times, and had just a fantastic time. The first night I was there, I won the Omnium, which is it's four races, and it's the combined total of points for the four races. So you have to, it's almost like a decathlon. You have to finish highly in every single event, and all the points towards each event goes toward the total of the whole overall. Mm-hmm. So it's the overall winner of four races. It's not just the winner of one race.
Didn't you have a bike issue too? Didn't you have a bike issue when you went back?
Yeah, several. That was just this past week though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We'll save that story for next week, because we're going to have to go. Folks, SDVelodrome.com, SDVelodrome.com. Come out Tuesday and see me, and I got a feeling. Roger, you going to be there?
Yeah, probably.
Look forward to it. All right, folks, check out San Diego Velodrome right off Pershing. You can't miss it. All right, coming up next, Gun Sports Radio. Let's get ready. Lock and load. KCBQ AM 1170, The Answer.
Who cares about the clouds when we're together?
Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather.
Happy trails.